You're listening to Hottery Humble.
No howling, only wooing.
Let's go, Hawks! Let's go!
Episode 31 of the Hard to Be Humble podcast.
Yikes.
I am the humblest man on earth, Tommy Stickle, and I am joined with the beautiful, greatest value, Chaz. It's just Chaz.
Just Chaz. It's like Cher.
Sorry, I just had visions of Prince and Cher, and then you. And somehow trying to make those be similar. How you doing today, Chaz?
Doing good.
Excellent.
Doing good.
What's new in your world?
The Hog Store opened up in Rogers again. Grand reopening. I'm excited. I love that place. I told you about all the good deals. There's always a 50% off rack. Fantastic deals. I sent the picture out on Twitter. I'm still disgusted to this day. A long sleeve shirt, $150. Are you kidding me?
So vomit. Like that's a
offended.
That hurts.
I'm offended. I get there's no chance anyone's going to buy that shirt.
Chad,
it's a long sleeve t-shirt, and yeah, it felt soft, but $150.
Chad, what would that shirt have to be made of for you to buy it for $150?
I made the stupid like dad joke, you know, because I asked him, I said, is this right? Like, is this really $150? And we were like the only people in the store. I'm like, yeah, it's a new brand. And you know, stupid. I don't know. I'm mad I even said it. I was like, oh, is it made of gold?
you know, said that? Oh yeah. That's bad, Chad.
Is there gold in there?
You got some diamonds in there.
Yeah. Stupid.
Yeah, man.
I was offended.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Okay, so our generation, you know, judging people, you know, we try not to, right? You know, no judgment. That's kind of one of the tenets.
I'll 100% judge someone wearing this shirt.
That's what I was about to get into. I am A-okay with judging people that buy that shirt. If you're buying t-shirts for $150, you need to rethink things, people. Rethink some things.
There was a whole wall of this new brand and just completely overpriced clothing. So I'm a bit frustrated.
If we lose some listeners from this, hey,
so be it.
We just don't support you buying $150 long sleeve shirts. So
it's they launched it for the spring and summer.
What if it's like some kind of aeronautical material that both keeps you flame like perfectly warm and cool, even regardless of season? Like that's, I might buy a shirt like that if it could. Yes, it's fireproof, waterproof, also wicks sweat off. So it's somehow waterproof plus it wicks sweat off. Like it's just.
There were no claims on this shirt. Just shirt. $150.
Oh, shirt. Man. That is offensive. I got a new hat. Got a new era, you know, I guess you would say the 5950 style new era baseball cap. Mm-hmm. So I'm enjoying that. Got it off of eBay. And I was a little bit scared it might be fake, but I think it's real. Got it for $17. Pretty happy with it. It's okay if you don't. It literally came in a box that was soft soap. The box, and then it had a Walmart bag wrapped around it. So I was like, but hey, it looks good. I'm happy with the hat.
Does it feel good?
Feels perfect. Seven and a half. That's my head size. Mm-hmm. It's good.
Big old head.
It's something. So Chad, let's see here. First off, let's kick it off with a very special guest. You know, we were able to finally connect the dots with this guest. Super excited to bring him on. We already got the interview recorded, so we're going to play that now. Hope y'all enjoy. Well, all right, guys. Up next, we have a very, very special guest today. I'm super excited to introduce the Hard to Be Humble audience to an influencer in the Hog Twitter space named Hillbilly Hog Fan. Welcome on, Hillbilly. How you doing today?
Tommy Chaz. Not Chad, Chaz. Man, it's a pleasure to be on with you guys.
Excellent, man.
Hillbilly Hog Fan himself. Gracing yes, our podcast with his presence. Yes, sir.
It is hard to be humble.
That's right. It is. Yeah, absolutely. So tell us, Hillbilly.
Well, first off, Chad. Hold on. I'm sorry. If you don't follow this man, you have to go follow him right now. It is at Hillbilly Hog Fan. Just how it is. Go follow him today. Great follow.
Yeah, and it's not one of the dumb H-A-W-Gs. It's Hog, the way that Hog should be spelled, H-O-G. Hillbilly Hog Fan. You know, the normal spelling. So is it okay if we refer to you as Hillbilly, or would you rather be Mr. Fan?
Well, let's just be Hillbilly today.
All right, we'll call you Hillbilly. So tell us, I guess, let's start with your little Twitter account there. Tell us when you started it, how long you've been doing it. I know right now you've got about, you know, you're definitely an influencer there. You've got over five, you know, you're creeping up on 6,000 followers, so you're doing something right, probably making a lot of people laugh. Tell us a little bit about how long you've been going for that account and, you know, just a little history there.
Man, when Arkansas was playing Texas A&M, when we first started that Southwest rivalry game down there at Jerry's World, I can't remember how many years ago that was, but, you know, A&M is so ridiculous that you got to stay, you know, you got to, like, say some stupid crap about them. So I decided to create a Twitter space where I could make fun of A&M that week, right?
Yes.
And tell all my Aggie jokes I'd heard over the years. So I cranked that thing up with some buddies and had, like, a dozen followers. The next thing I know, man, stuff started getting shared, and I just started, you know, putting my hillbilly gold out there on the internet for all my Razorback fans to see.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know I've definitely cracked up quite a few things. I know you like to have the can of whoop a gif thrown out there at some people, giving them a can of whoop a.
Whether it's you know, a Mizzou fan or Dingleberry one to meet down at the Sonic, you know, sometimes you just got to open up a can.
That's right. You might not know this, but do you know, like, what the, if you have, like, one tweet that got, like, blew out, like, viral tweet or anything like that, like, the most likes you've gotten on one, does one stand out like that?
Man, that is hard to put my finger on. I know that recently there was a, I put out a tweet that wasn't, you know, wasn't a funny tweet. It was actually a tweet about Nick Starkle and how the dude, like, you know, like Joe Burrow, like, was the second all-time passing leader in SEC bowl history behind Nick freaking Starkle.
Oh, man.
And not only did that get retweeted, but Nick himself retweeted it. And the next thing I knew, man, people were commenting on it. Players on the team were commenting on it, and it got a lot of play.
Yikes, that's awesome. And also one of those that you're like, should I use that mute the thread option that some people don't know about, you know, because you get like way too many notifications of people fighting back and forth within yours and you're like, shut up.
Yeah, man, Twitter brings out the worst in folk.
For sure. You know what's one thing that I found interesting about having, you know, a Twitter presence myself with this is that you see the bad, but you also see some really good, cool stuff too, which I think is kind of fun. It probably just depends on kind of where you operate in the space, but
the truth is in the hog sphere, man, that's where news breaks.
Yep.
So whether it's a coaching search or a player gets kicked off the team, you know, a la O'Grady this year, you learn about it first on Twitter, man. And if you're a Hog fan, you got to be on Twitter or you're going to be late to the party. Everybody's going to know the news before you do.
That's right. That is right. So let's pivot just a bit off of Twitter and let's talk about some of your roots being the hillbilly that you clearly are.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So first things first, in your mind, in my neck of the woods where I grew up, we had rednecks. Like, that's what you were. So I'm guessing that in your neck of the woods, obviously people are hillbillies. In your mind, how would you describe kind of that difference between redneck and hillbilly?
A redneck is going to jack his truck up and put big wheels on it. A hillbilly's just going to drive his granddad's truck. You know what I'm saying? a redneck's going to grow his hair long in the back. And a hillbilly's going to grow his beard long in front, you know?
There we go, yeah.
It's like if you've ever been to Jasper, Arkansas, and then immediately driven to Crossett, Arkansas, you'll know the difference, right?
Oh, wow. I've never been to either of those. Now I got to go. That sounds awesome.
Right, right. So if you've ever been to, no, let's not throw Harrison out there. Harrison gets it mad. Place is crazy. But that's pretty much it, man.
Gotcha. Yeah, those are some very tangible examples. I love it.
Right. So, hillbillies get the reputation of running around with no shoes on, corncob pipe, you know.
Yeah.
Rednecks are going to have on, like, their mud boots and their skull ring.
Tommy.
Yeah, there you go.
We all have phases growing up to where, like, you know, someone may go through a punk phase or, you know, something like that. Did you ever go through a hillbilly or a redneck phase? And hillbilly hog fan, I'm going to ask you the same thing. Did you toe the line on redneck and go back to hillbilly or?
Well, it was pretty much all hillbilly. You know, when you're raised a hillbilly, you just kind of are a hillbilly and you have to one day look in the mirror and admit it. But I did go through a phase in junior high where I thought I was a gangster rapper.
Oh,
and, we've all been there though.
Yeah, man. I had the Oakland Raiders starter jacket and listened to the NWA and,
Tupac or Biggie, where you at?
Oh man. Let's go Tupac.
Good answer. I like that.
Yeah. I'm from Northwest Arkansas, so I like a little more West Side than East Side, brother.
That's awesome. That's perfect. Man,
throwing gang signs in Newton County, Arkansas. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, maybe throwing a little camo somewhere in there. You know, you got to represent somehow.
Word.
Tommy, did you ever go through that phase?
No, absolutely not. I despised that, to be honest, growing up. And now I kind of embracing it more and more, to be honest. Yeah. Now, you know, where you're from, it's like I was kind of the deny your roots kind of guy. And now I want to relate to it more than ever before. It's kind of that circle, I guess.
It is. It's comforting. I can relate. I can relate well. I never went through that phase. Wasn't even in FFA. Are you in FFA? Yeah, you're laughing over there.
Man, I had my corduroy jacket. You know what I'm saying?
Those are big.
I might still have that thing. I can't fit in it, but I still got it.
Nice, nice. So, hillbilly. You know, most hillbillies, you know, and rednecks included, they love to look at other people and make fun of them for being stupid. That's kind of like, to me, one of the big things. Like, you know, if you're back in a trailer to launch a boat out into the water, you know, you make fun of the guy that can't do it well or gets his whatever stuck in a, you know, that's just the culture there. So do you have a story of any, you know, the stupidest or silly hillbilly thing that either you did or maybe somebody you know did?
Oh, man. You know, I could probably write a book on some of the stuff I saw growing up in Newton County, Arkansas. But the craziest thing I ever seen was a buddy of mine out on the Buffalo River decided to ride down the side of a bluff in a canoe. You know, like those kayak guys will like slide down the hill and into the water. He tried to do it in like an old aluminum canoe. And I think he nearly lost his life that day.
Yep.
But it was a great moment in the National Park Service. They responded quickly.
That's awesome. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm sure that was a smooth ride, you know, gliding ride in there. No rocks or anything dangerous that could... I'm sure no alcohol was involved either, for sure. Maybe
about as smooth as sandpaper, toilet paper, you know what I mean?
That's right. So let's finish up here with just some Razorback fandom stuff. Let's talk a little bit maybe about your favorite sporting event, like Razorback game that you ever saw live or maybe even like on TV growing up. What's a moment or a game that stands out in your mind as one of your favorites?
Man, I have to give you a couple. My favorite ever was the 1999 Tennessee game at Razorback Stadium. I was a student at that time, rushed the field, helped tear down the goalposts, and there was a defensive lineman named Kurt Davis. I still to this day have his gloves from that game. He gave them to me after the game. But in 1998, when we beat Alabama, that was a shift in the program. And when Houston Nutt was there, it was his first year. We beat Alabama at Razorback Stadium, and everybody knew then that this Razorback team could be good. And it turned things around at the University of Arkansas in the SEC. A couple of years later, they announced plans to, you know, expand the stadium, which was huge for Reynolds Razorback Stadium, and that's where it all started, is when we beat Alabama that day. And, you know, as we head into the Pittman era, that's my hope. Like, we need that game. You know, we need that breakthrough game where people go, hey, the Hogs are back. The Hogs are back. And so you know, that was the most significant game, was that Alabama win. But the funnest one would have been that one. And then there was a game probably about 1998 or 9 where the basketball team beat a high-ranked Auburn team when Chris Jeffries was there in Bud Walton Arena. And I just remember the student section. We were going nuts, man. Chris Jeffries had a huge game. Loudest basketball game I've ever been to.
That's awesome. Man, yeah, there's there's nothing like that. Just being in the crowd of those big games and those there is nothing like that feeling. It's the greatest. You know, you'll hold that memory forever. That's so cool.
I feel like we haven't felt that in a long time.
Exactly. It's been a while, man.
Come on.
You know, I thought we almost got it when we got the boot that year, that first SEC win over LSU that Bielema got. Yes. And then it just kind of went flat from there.
I was at that game. That was a good game to be at.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it did feel good. And you're like, okay.
I was at that game too, and it was really cold that game.
Oh,
there was a
man.
Guy that they put on Brutal. There was a guy that they put on TV that he was a redneck, not a hillbilly, that had on an Arkansas Snuggie. And that went viral and everyone was tagging me in it and saying, "Is this you, Hillbilly Hog fan?" It was not me.
But I'm sure you said, "Yep, that's me. Yep, the hillbilly." I would.
That guy, way too much mullet and way too few teeth, man. We're more moonshine people than methamphetamine, folks.
Nice. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, you bring up some great points that make me think, like, sometimes I think of kids, let's say, just now coming out of high school or just kind of young Arkansans growing up, and it's like they don't remember when it was fun and good. All they have is, like, just – pretty awful, you know?
Right,
and
right.
I feel like it's really important for, you know, Hog fans that are a little bit older, if possible, to try to connect those younger fans in to say, look, we might be bad at football right now. We're probably at the lowest point we've been in decades, but it will get better and we will get out of it. I mean, it just can't,
right.
You know, we just can't stay this bad forever. It's just impossible. So,
man, I was in high school when we won the national title in basketball. And then I was on the hill when 98, 99, 2000, when Houston Nutt showed up and really rolled things around, man. And oh gosh, what I'd give to experience that again.
Yeah. So do you have any strong feelings about, you know, did we let Houston Nutt go at the right time, all that jazz? And then, you know, how are you feeling maybe about, I mean, we all feel the same way about Chad Morris. What a bum. But how are you feeling about Pittman, you know, just kind of looking at football and the coaching history,
man.
There?
You know, Houston was great for his time, man. And honestly, in my opinion, Houston forced it on himself. Houston did a great job in his time. I think we'll look back on the Houston Nutt era and say, hey, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
The problem is Houston made so many mistakes, man, that just forced the university had to make the decision they made, whether it was the, you know, the phone records and what he was doing there, or the, you know, the mishandling of the Springdale crew and Malzahn and Mustaine. I mean, he did it to himself. So that's what it is with Houston. Did we do it? Should we have done it? Really, Houston did it. We didn't.
I agree.
So, and then with Pittman, man, you know, I think the key with Pittman is, who's he putting around him? Kendall Briles and Barry Odom? Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, let's love go. It. Love it.
If you could see, like, make a list, you know, not a long list or anything, but you know, coming up on the spring game, coming up pretty soon for football, what is something that you would just like to see? Do you believe that you would rather see one side of the ball dominate the other, kind of equal, or maybe it's not about how both sides do, but more, you know, individuals, you know, showing out or showing something that's different? Is there anybody you got your eye on or anything you're checking out for the spring game?
Man, for the spring game, Let's see the quarterback situation. Felipe Franks, can he do it?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to see.
Great question.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then looking into next season, go to South Bend and beat Notre Dame.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Man. So
just
awesome.
Do that. Just do that. How incredible would that be?
Man, that'd be – the hype would be so crazy. And it'd be great. It'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, all right, Hillbilly. I appreciate your time today. Absolutely everybody, if this is entering into your eardrums at this moment, stop, go to Twitter, follow at Hillbilly Hog Fan. It's a great follow, a lot of fun, brings a lot of life to Twitter. You'll enjoy it. Just bring the joy to your life. Follow them, and just have a good time with them, you know. It's great. So Hillbilly, thank you so much. Hopefully, maybe, we'll see. If you want to, we'd love to have you back sometime. We'll see, though. But really appreciate your time today.
For for real, man. I love to jump back on. Chad, Tommy, you guys do a great job. Take care.
Hey, appreciate you, man.
Thank
Have a good
you.
One.
Thank you. Hopefully, y'all now know Hillbilly, Hog Fan, a little bit better. Hopefully, you've seen him around the Twitter space. If you haven't, you're doing something wrong on Twitter, go follow him. If you don't have Twitter for some reason, what the heck are you doing? Just go sign up. But yeah, Hillbilly's awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you greatly. So, Chad, let's kick off here with just a little bit of news about the hockey team. You know, I love the hockey team. In fact, My plan is if Arkansas can win their first game against Vandy on Wednesday night, late Wednesday yep. night, and they yep. can advance to Thursday, I'm planning on going to the Thursday night game. So yes. my plan is to be wearing an Arkansas hockey jersey and an Arkansas baseball hat.
Oh, yeah.
So if you see me in the crowd, Boys. Probably my nose will probably be bleeding, if you know what I'm saying. I'll be up in the nosebleeds. Is that a dad joke? I don't know. But, yeah, excited for that. But for hockey, for the latest hockey news, nice. The conference announced the first teams.
First team, second team.
Yeah, all that. I don't even know what you call that. Conference teams? What's the name of that? Sure.
Best of the best.
And the Razorbacks were not only, like, this is how good the Razorbacks were in their conference, in their all-Pacific region, okay? So in hockey, as you know, you have six people that are on the rink at a time. You have three forwards, two defensemen, and a goalie. So you have six. Arkansas's team made up half of the first team. That's how good they Oof. Were. We yeah. had our
how
center.
Many, how many teams are in this conference? I think this is worth noting as well.
It's the all
There's a lot of teams.
It's all-Pacific. So I think that's another great question. Again, you're testing my hockey knowledge that I don't know as well as I should, but I'm pretty sure it's even beyond the SEC.
I think it's a lot of teams, right?
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot, no doubt. And
huge props.
We had our center captain, senior, I believe, Chris Stovall, be named as first team. We also had defenseman Cameron McAtee. Both of those dudes, if you saw the hockey team play, they stand out immediately. They totally gave the shaft to Sugisawara. I mean, maybe his stats didn't quite stack up, maybe. But regardless, or whatever the correct word is there, Sugisawara is my first teamer. But Chris and McAtee, and then the final one on the first team, our goalie, Joseph Desanka, just the wall, the brick wall, Desanka. What an awesome name. Sounds like a good drink. Mm-hmm. That's
what are you drinking there? Better Desanka. What you drinking?
Man, it sounds so refreshing. Man, he should know about that. We also had some second teamers named. And forgive me if I pronounce the names a little wrong, but Dylan Odelain, I believe is how you pronounce
sounds
his
wrong.
Name. And
sounds
Alex,
wrong.
This one's going to, I'm probably going to butcher this one. Kuser. Kuesser. Sorry, Alex, if I pronounce your last name wrong.
The Boozer.
But, what an awesome showing. So I wanted to give those guys a shout out. They're working hard. They've got nationals coming up in a few weeks, so we'll be rooting hard for them. If you're in Texas, go see them. I don't care if you're on the far edge of Texas. You better be coming. You better be coming to support them. So the Razorback basketball team has now ended the regular season, Chad. It's crazy.
Went fast.
Little sour note, so I would say. Didn't end where we wanted it to. But how are you feeling today, Chad?
Oh, hoops. Ah, man. They're just not very good.
Incomplete.
Musselman's a good coach. Team's just not great. So look what the three guards did against A&M. They showed out. Witt, Jones, Joe. His forwards, just the story of the season. So they are who they are.
Let me ask an important question, Chad. I was talking to my mom. Okay. I talk to my mom as every guy should. Call your mom.
Yeah.
Make her know she's loved.
Yeah.
And we talk hogs. So she was saying that, you know, Musselman's a great coach.
Yes.
You know, she was just giving him like, he did the best he could. We ended up where we should and all this stuff. I pushed back a little bit. And this is where I think I'm in the minority of hog fans. I think Musselman did have a hard team to coach. Don't get me wrong. But I think that where we were at certain points of the season, we should have been better now.
Yeah.
I think you can point to Musselman and critique him a little bit on some of his decisions and say, yes, he had a hard team to coach, but he built this team for two-thirds of the season. We were really good. And in the last third, we fell apart because one guy got hurt, essentially, and then he came back. Is that I feel like we can blame Musselman a little bit. And I feel like some fans don't want to at all. But I feel like we should have done better at the end. We just had to win one game, Chad, here against Texas A&M. And that would and we couldn't do it. Couldn't do it when it counted.
We were in the driver's seat.
We couldn't make
You
know, A&M made the adjustments. They started feeding it to Nebo in the post in the second half. You know, they kind of gained some momentum there at the end of the first half. And we didn't do anything. We could not stop them no matter what we did. It just wasn't working. They had some guys out there. Mitchell, I think, was his name, you know, shooting the lights out of nowhere. But whatever. It happens. But we couldn't answer. So, I don't know.
He deserves a little blame. And I think Musselman.
A little bit.
He would even own up to some of that blame, I think.
Well,
so,
good.
I agree with that.
I think we should have made, with how the season was going, we should have made the tournament. At the beginning of the season, we wouldn't have said we should, but we saw what the team could be, and the team changed. Yeah. At some point, it changed, and I don't know why, but I just think we could have done better.
When the Hogs were 15-4, the outlook was like, how do you not make the tournament from here? And we found a way not to make the tournament. He had everything going for him. I don't put, like you said, I don't put too much blame on him, but he deserves a little blame. Like he set himself up 15-4. I still have it on my, you know, those little boards you like put numbers on, like super crafty and trendy. You know those?
Sure.
Sure. It's 15-4. I put it up there. I was like, all right, I'm going to keep up with the Hogs record. Then we lost like four in a row. And I just,
not fun.
I just left it. Yep. It was still 15-4.
Perfect.
Still,
that was the
still 15-4.
That's awesome. One thing I'm curious to see, and I haven't gone to look at like Nevada and stuff much, to be honest, but I'm curious to see. Clearly he can develop guards pretty well. We've had great guard play. There's no doubt about that. Either his system does or maybe he helped develop them. I'm really curious to see though. Clearly we saw no development out of our big guys, out of our post players, out of our, you know, people were out of position, but still, you know, Ethan Henderson, Reggie Chaney, those types of guys, Scylla even maybe. We just didn't see a lot of development or any improvement. And it makes one wonder, is that a potential sore spot, so to speak? Is that something that Musselman doesn't have? Does he can he develop those guys? Or is that always going to be the story going forward? We never have good post player because either the system doesn't accommodate that or he can't coach it. It's just something I'm curious about. Just keeping it earmarked, you know? How do you feel about that?
I think it's fine. Everything's fine. Worried. It's all about talent. Got to have the players. We didn't have the talent.
Yeah, we'll have the talent next year.
Yeah.
All right, Chad.
We'll see.
Let's make some bold calls, man. I'm ready for some bold
calls.
Is Joe going? Is Joe going to the NBA?
Yes.
I say yes too. Is Mason going?
Yes.
Ooh, I say no.
Wrong.
We'll see.
Why? Why would he come back?
I don't think he's going to have an opportunity.
He won't get drafted in the NBA.
Right.
But is he going to have a better year statistically than he had this year?
I don't think so.
No, there's no chance he has a better year statistically.
I think he can get closer. So, I think he,
if you
he
look
can.
At
you go ahead.
Numbers. If you look at just numbers statistically, you know, I mean, numbers tell everything. So you look at it next year, there's no way. And he's going to get in his head. Like, even if he gets one of the SEC player of the years, like from the AP or the coaches, you get one of those, then you're like, I can do anything. He's good. He's not going to get drafted. He'll go play overseas and he'll do well, but he won't get a chance on this roster spot, but he's going to go.
I think he stays. I'm sticking with my gut. I think he stays. I don't think he gets a good opportunity and he thinks to himself, I'm going to come back and we're going to go win a national championship next year.
In all fairness to Mason, Does Mason make logical, rational decisions?
I don't know him personally, but I would think no. Just
I've seen how the way he acts on the court. I mean, nothing. I know that's a brash, maybe a rash. Which one?
Either
one of those. Yeah, I feel like it's a harsh, rash, brush,
delve,
judgment,
delve.
But I just don't think he's going to go. Like, he's going to be like, yeah, I can totally do this. And he's going to, I mean, to his credit, he's done whatever he wants to against SEC schools. So, like, and he's going to have a good NIT run as well. So, I wish him the best, but he's going to go. Just like I called Georgia.
You did. Just okay. Like how many NIT games? Well, this might be hard because I don't even know if I know all the games. I think is there five or six games in the NIT you have to win? I think you have to win five games to win the NIT. Let me double check that.
Right.
Give me one moment.
Well, they're gonna have a one seed. Hogs are gonna play home up until the championship. They play that in New York, right? Madison Square Garden.
They play the semifinal and the final in Madison.
The fake Final Four?
Square Garden.
Square in Madison. You know, Madison. They're going to play really well at home. They'll get there. So, I don't know. Mason,
you got to win five.
Got to win five.
How many are we going to win, Chad?
I think we'll win at least four. I think the championship.
I mean, I guess most Hog fans would probably say that, too. I don't think that's necessarily bold. But, yeah, if we don't get to the Final Four in the NIT, I'll be disappointed. We should.
Yeah.
We should. And we should probably win it, to be honest, because I think we'll be easily the best team in the NIT.
Do we throw a parade if we win the NIT?
No. Do you hang banners for NIT? I think you do, but maybe you don't. And do you hang a shirt? Do you buy a shirt? Ooh, no way. No. You only buy a shirt if it's like under 10 or 10. Like, there's no way you're spending more than that on the NIT. That's really funny. Have you ever seen somebody wearing an NIT shirt? I guess you don't. That's funny.
Can we buy NIT champ shirts?
Yes. NIT for life. I like that. So
it could be a cool new thing. Like,
yeah. Texas won it last year. I mean, maybe they're wearing some NIT shirts. I don't know. Chad, I was going to ask this. So whether Joe and Jones go, are you looking it up right now?
$20 for NIT champions. $20?
No, that's too much.
Texas Longhorns.
Ugh, yeah. Gross. I might put a screensaver on my phone. No, I probably won't even do that.
They're really ugly shirts.
Yeah, it's awful. Like, the logo's bad and everything about it. Chad, so do you think that we're going to get any... Oh, Chad is doing something we've never done before in our little live video. He is streaming his... Ooh, look at that. What do you call that? Where you got the little stuff around the sleeves, like, not raglan.
Stupid.
Yeah. It's kind of like that old school vintage 1970s style shirt where you have like the elastic that kind of fits tight around your arms.
Yeah.
That looks just gross.
Ugh.
All right. So they do have them, people.
Hoodies.
Ugh. Gosh.
It's got the score. They beat Lipscomb?
Oh, yeah, Lipscomb. Yeah.
I forgot Lipscomb.
They beat them pretty good. Lipscomb, man. That seems a good school.
The score, that's even, to me, it's more embarrassing that they have the score of the game. Like, yeah, like a big event.
Beating Lipscomb.
I would buy that shirt. And I bet I could buy it at the Hog store for like $10 clearance because no one would buy them.
Yeah.
I'll get you one.
Yeah, please. I'll wear it. I'd love it. The more terrible it can look, the better.
Extra medium.
So, Chad, let's do another bold call. Do you think anybody's going to transfer off this team?
I got one.
Okay.
Reggie Chaney.
That was mine. I think there is a 90% chance that Reggie Chaney transfers. It's very high.
Did you see the look on his face on the bench?
No.
Against A&M?
No.
I did. It was this. he did something where he had his...
You know what that look just looked like that Chad just gave me? It looked like he was at a coffee shop and they had a sign over the house blend or the dark roast, and he was going in with the dark roast in mind, and it said sold out, and it was like that look of like, are you serious right now? They don't have the dark roast. That's gonna throw off my whole day.
I'm totally a light roast guy. So
oh, gotcha.
Yeah, he earned minutes. He did well, and then he got benched, and now he doesn't play at all. And so he's talented. So something going on. I know he thinks he's more talented. He should be playing, especially on a team where we have no big man, and he is a big man. Like, why am I not playing?
Do you think he'll want to play in Brooklyn? Think he'll want to go up there with Mike Anderson?
I don't know.
Transfer up to, he's at St. John, right?
Yeah. I mean, typically people transfer away from Mike Anderson.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what Reggie does, but I think that there's a good chance he's not on the team. So that'll be interesting. Okay.
He get home.
Okay, I'm with you. That is exactly who I thought too.
What about the humble beast?
he'll be there. It is interesting to look at the roster, what it'll look like. I think I never know how to pronounce his name. Aioli or Aiola. The transfer in this year who had to sit out. I think he'll either be a very similar player to Silla next season, or he'll actually be really good. I have no idea what it could be. He could be our next year's Silla, or he could be great. We'll just have to wait and see. We got Connor Vanover. I think he'll get defensive rebounds. I don't think he's going to be our answer on the offensive rebound. I don't think he'll probably have enough grit. And like, when you're that tall, you're just kind of, you know, like a long tree that kind of sways, you know? He's not like the bulldog getting rebounds. You know, he's no Big Nasty. I don't think he's going to be Big Nasty getting those rebounds. I think rebounding will still be an issue next year. I don't think we'll be fantastic or great. I think we'll be better. But I think it's at least enough to work with. And we could have a pretty complete team, but still will be
we'll
a
be
weak
fine.
Spot.
We'll be fine. Everything's going to be okay.
It'll be fine. It'll be what it is. That's for sure. So let's do a little recap of the season. Let's put a bow on it for everyone, and let's hand out some awards, Chad. Let's put some labels. Let's put some titles from this season on some stuff. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So Chad, when you think of the regular season, 2019-2020 basketball, what is the best moment of the season?
The highlight of the season was beating Indiana at Indiana. And that's sad, I know. But that's it. That was the best moment for me. Because I had so much hope after that game. And I think the media had a lot of hope for us, too.
Yeah, I'm going with when Calipari got kicked out of the game. The best moment of the season. Yes.
Come on.
That was the pinnacle of the season in a nutshell. Everything was building to that. And then after that, everything went south. That was the precipice, the pinnacle. That was the bright spot.
Precipice.
It was so good. And then Kentucky just came out and crushed us after that. And it was just disappointing after that.
It was fun when he got kicked out, though.
Oh, man. That was the highlight. I think that was the best moment. And it didn't even involve our players. So who's the sixth man of the year? Chad, there was a lot of six, eight. Like, I feel like the roles kind of shifted quite a bit, but
here, this may be controversial. No sixth man of the year.
Ooh.
None. No one gets it.
That is controversial.
We're keeping that one in our back pocket.
Did not earn.
No one deserved it. We had five guys who showed up each night.
Perfect.
Take that one away.
Love it.
No participation trophies over here. Let me tell you this, Walter. I coached a sixth and seventh grade team a couple years ago. We went 6-2 in the regular season. We were great. Showed up in the playoffs, lost to a bad team. We didn't even have a reward ceremony. Called it off. We're done. Forget it, boys. So just like with that,
didn't show
six-man
up.
Award, see ya.
Nice. Chad is
trash.
Chad is harsh.
I'd love to see Musselman just throw that away in the trash can on awards night.
Ooh, that'd be awesome. Let's talk about Mus a little bit. What wins tantrum of the year?
It's fresh on my mind, but when he got that technical against A&M,
that was bad.
I mean, what a horrible time to get a technical foul. I mean, the officiating was bad, yes, but you should be used to it by now. The officiating's been bad all year. So maybe it was just a frustration point to where he just lost his cool at the very end. I don't know. But that's what sticks out to me outside of Mason's 20 tantrums that he had. this year.
Yeah, that's the game that I think stands out to me with tantrums is the I think that was the Missouri game where he and Mason were kind of just jawing back and forth, and I just felt like it just looked really bad just from an outsider looking in. Who knows what was said, but you know, that led to Mason Jones not starting the next game, I believe, and just wasn't a good look. Wasn't a good look. What do you make of Muss changing mid-season from Pepsi to water? Did you notice that?
I didn't even think about it, but yeah, I think it's weak.
It made me wonder. I haven't paid attention to it enough, but I wonder if he drinks Pepsi where there's Pepsi and he drinks water where there's not Pepsi because he's that loyal to Pepsi.
Loyola.
To Pepsi. I haven't thought about that. Maybe that's the reason. Maybe he just hates Coca-Cola. He just drinks water.
I don't drink either. So I don't know.
What was the lowest point of the season, Chad?
That loss to Missouri was low of lows. It was awful. Ugh. Just felt gross.
Yes. I hate losing to Missouri. It's terrible.
It's not even like a race. It's just like, I need to go shower because we just lost to Missouri.
It gave me shivers just then, like goosebumps. I'm going to say the low point was losing to Tennessee. I'm just going to throw that game out there because, man, we got smoked from the opening tip. We weren't going to win that game. It was just bad the whole game.
I think the team like lost some confidence after that game, honestly. That's a little bit of swagger.
We ended up beating them later at home pretty easily, which was great. But, yeah, I know what you mean. It was a rough stretch. What's other things throughout the season? Any other games that stand out? I mean, I know that to me, probably one of the more interesting things like that I might forget later on down the line is that we started out the season and we were like in the top three of defense. Like we were a defensive team. Yeah. The first game against Rice, we beat them by, I think, close to 50 points, if not by 50 points. We scored 90 and they scored like 40 or 50 or something. It's very low.
Nobody saw that coming.
No, and then for like five or six games until Georgia Tech, where we won on the road in overtime, we had held every opponent to under 60 points, and that was really special. Mm-hmm. And we were defensive, and that was our identity. And then we kind of continued on with some good identity until we lost at Western Kentucky in overtime, right? Yes, in overtime against Western Kentucky. And it's like our defense just changed after that loss. I mean, we were playing weaker opponents and stuff, but it was like we were just a different team and we lost our identity after that loss, which is disappointing. We almost lost to Valpo in Little Rock, North Little Rock or Little Rock?
North Little Rock.
Okay. You know, maybe there was some stuff we should have saw coming, but it's just weird the identity changes we had through the year. That loss against South Carolina was just felt bad because of all the fouls. That was just a yuck game. Hated that game. Lost to Florida. What's new? Anything else stand out to you, Chad? I know Jimmy Witt, his performance, I think, against Vanderbilt was very spectacular when we beat Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I'm pulling up the stat sheet just for the season because, yeah, we started off because, like, defending the three-pointer was, like, our big thing.
Yep.
And we finished, our opponent shot 27% from three, which is still good on defensive. But, like, it was, like, 15 or something at one point. So, like, I feel like that really accelerated, out-rebounded 1,200 to 975. That's a good job. 17,000 in attendance at the Rice game, though. That is impressive. The best, it was the first game, the best attended game before conference play. So, I don't know. You know, it was a roller coaster of a season. Last year, we were 18 and 16, 8 and 10 in the SEC. So we actually got worse in our conference record. Which doesn't feel like it, you know?
It doesn't. Yeah, I guess not.
We're 19 and 12 now.
And for the record, Chad, I do want to interject. We still ended the regular season as the best team in the country in three-point defense percentage, at least.
Well, that's
so
great.
We're still number one. So, okay. But it did feel like it got relaxed as the year went on.
Yeah, it shows you what I know. But I don't know. We man, it's
we ended
one of our worst SEC conference since Mike Anderson's first year. He was 6-10. Yes. So
we ended the season ranked 17th in most steals. That's pretty good. We also ended 29th in turnover. Like the other team committed, you know, a lot of turnovers. We looked good in that. You know, forced the other team to commit a lot of turnovers. That's kind of the main stats that we really hung our hat on, so to speak. And hey, hopefully we can keep that up. So any other season ending awards we want to give out, Chad?
Yeah, I think that's it. That's all I've got. I mean, Mason's the MVP.
Can we give a participation award to Jamario Bell?
I hope he had a good role in practice. If not, he just made a lot of memories this spring.
Hey, that's right. He's going to have fun lifting up that NIT trophy. I can tell you that.
Wearing that shirt proud.
So let's look forward just a bit, Chad, into the SEC tournament. We play on Wednesday. We play on Thursday. We got the late night. On Wednesday, we play Vandy. On Thursday, we play South Carolina. Should we advance, we play LSU. How you feeling? What do you think we do?
Oh, man. Honestly, I'm in a bad place. Like, I feel like Vanderbilt's just going to beat us Wednesday. Like, I know that's crazy, but that's where my head's at.
Vandy's playing better than they have all year right now. We should beat them, I would say, but I don't know if we will. And I think the chances of us beating South Carolina are very small at this point. I think this team has already shown kind of it gets worn out. You know, it might already be worn out. And to play back-to-back nights, I just don't think they're going to be able to keep that up. Like, so we win games because Mason Jones puts a lot of energy on the court, draws fouls, gets knocked down a bunch. You think he's going to win three nights in a row of that?
No.
No, can do it. We would be lucky if he could do it for two nights in a row. He's not. If we get to LSU, they're going to beat us by 40 points probably. I mean, maybe not 40, but they're going to absolutely destroy us if we get that far. Our dudes are going to be worn out unless somehow they just get motivated beyond belief and pull miraculous performances out of their rears, but I don't think that happens.
I wouldn't count on it, but I could be wrong. It'd be too negative.
Well, I'll enjoy the NIT. It'll be fun, and we'll look forward to next season. Definitely getting loaded back up. You know, and if Reggie Chaney transfers, I think we can bring in a transfer, and I'll be excited to see who Musk brings. I bet he brings in somebody good if he's got the spot open.
Yeah, because Reggie, if you couldn't find a spot on this team.
That's a great point. Like, what are you going to do next year? You know, like.
You're the biggest guy we have on the team, and the biggest need we had all year was size, and you're the biggest guy.
And he had little like sprinkles of decent, like, yeah, you're doing your role, a little sprinkle, great. And then just not disappointing. Yeah,
he's talented. I don't know. So, yeah, season's over. That's it, man. That is it. Baseball, though, I'll let you down. We don't even talk about baseball.
Yeah, baseball is a sore subject right now. It's probably on the
long season.
It's probably okay. On the up and up. Yeah, I'm sure, but.
The walk-off home run by Kerstad yesterday was fun.
Yeah, that was good. So we'll just keep moving on from there. So we got a text from Andy to talk about, Chad. He gave us his high fives, his best friends, and his punches. So let's get into that.
Andy's the best, man.
Let's get ready to
high five.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. A nice punch to the face.
All right, boys, my high five goes to Heston Kerstad for hitting the walk-off home run. He has at least one hit in every game this year. Absolutely. I actually didn't fact check that, but I am almost positive he's correct. My best friend goes to the GOAT, greatest of all time, Dave Van Horn. I mean, what more reliable best friend can you have than Dave? Man, imagine if Dave Van Horn was your best friend. How freaking cool would that be? Man, I'd call him every day, and I'd be like, Dave, tell me something good, man. And he would.
He kind of sounds, I'd like to give him a call every morning on the way to work. Be nice.
Andy says, never question or worry about baseball. They will get it going soon.
Yeah, and everything's fine.
And my punch goes to two different groups. First to anyone over 6 foot tall on the South Carolina's women's basketball team. Okay. All right.
We don't condone hitting women, but.
Fair enough. The second goes to SEC men's basketball refs. Yes, we all can get behind. I mean, they need knives to the heart. Man, that sounded rough.
Gosh.
Maybe they don't need that. Y'all know what I'm saying. They need to bleed a little bit. They're so bad.
Bleed a lot of it.
They're so bad. Now the punch was almost the Hard to Be Humble podcast. What, Andy?
Whoa.
Why, you ask? Well, it would be your complete disregard and disrespect towards Lady Basketball and Arkansas women's sports in general. There was a big old punch headed y'all's way until I got to the mailbox yesterday, and Tommy sent me a wonderful handwritten note. Thank you, Tommy. You staved off the punch this week. Chad, I'm still watching you. Man, you are on Andy's just... He's just got you on on the microscope, man.
That's something.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. So you're right, Andy. I guess it's I don't feel like I have disrespect for them. I just feel like I don't have interest. Is that disrespect? I don't know. I don't have interest in racing, like motor car.
Yeah. NASCAR.
Or Indy.
I'm not gonna act like I can't fake being excited, but interested. I don't know.
Yeah, I know that. I know the women had a great victory. I saw
a good team.
I saw on Twitter people were. I think they came from behind with like 8 seconds left. Great. Did it even get me a little excited? Not really. I'm sorry, but it's just not my passion, not my thing. So I probably shouldn't bring it up because it just make y'all mad.
Women's basketball. There's like a tier of like four teams that are head and shoulders way better than everybody else. And then there's no upsets. It's not because they're women. It's just, there are like a handful of schools that just have way better teams than everybody else. And so you don't ever see, like, you'll never see a 16 over one. You'll never, I don't know. It's not fun to watch because they just destroy every team. And you saw it. I mean, Arkansas is a really good basketball team. And South Carolina just destroyed Arkansas. I mean, I think the good schools are like what? Connecticut, South Carolina.
Tennessee, traditionally. Not so much lately.
I think they've fallen off. I don't know. Notre Dame, maybe.
It's not my scene, man.
It's not my scene.
But I hope you have another podcast that loves them more than anything. Like I love hockey.
Yeah.
And it'll be great. Love hockey. Well, Chad, I think that's the end of us today.
Yeah.
Hey, we're done. We're at the end, man. Tell us something good to leave today with.
I doubt anyone has done any of the things I've asked you to do. It's fine. Just this one's simple. And I guarantee everyone's going to do it. Just put a smile on your face, even when you don't want to put a smile on your face.
Keep walking.
Walk Choose hard. To be happy.
Walk hard.
Forward.
Walk hard. Hard. When they say you're all done, walk bold.
You can choose to be happy. Walk hard. Choose happiness, Tommy.
That's right. And I'll say this. I'll leave with this because this past weekend, you know, we had the tornadoes that came through the Nashville area. Last week, we're recording on Monday night, and I was able to be a part of some volunteer activities this weekend and some cleanup stuff. And those moments are just wonderful to see people of all race, ethnicity, you know, religion, doesn't matter. It's like when there's tragedy and people need help, it is so cool to see, you know, the salt of the earth, the cream of the crop, us rise up, help our brothers out, and just a lot of cool, neat stuff for humanity happens. And you know, it's just cool to always be a part of that. One thing particularly that was cool is I was helping clean up a bunch of like forest debris, like trees were all blown down. We were like picking up stuff, and some dude had his truck out there, and he was letting people throw like tons of branches and, you know, crazy debris in the back of his truck, and it was getting scratched up, and it was a fairly nice truck. And I was like, dude, if this were my truck, I couldn't let people scratch it all up like this. And he goes, man, it's just a truck. I need to help people out. And I was like, man, you're a better human than me, clearly, because I couldn't do this. And it was just cool, you know, just to see people just sacrifice and do it in their own way. And there's a million different ways. You know, some people can use their hands. Some people can use their checkbook. Some people can just use their thoughts too. So thank you for that. If anybody's been thinking of Nashville, we appreciate you. And we'll be stronger than ever. That's how Nashville is. Good little place. Come move here. You'll have trouble finding a house probably.
Nope, don't do it. Don't move there. Move to Northwest Arkansas.
Northwest Arkansas is pretty sweet too. That'd probably be number two for me. It's a good backup. All right, man. As always, thank you, Chad. Appreciate you, Chaz. Yeah. Sorry.
Chaz.
Appreciate you. Y'all have a great week. And woo.
Hey. See you, Stick.
See ya. Thank you for listening to Hard to Be Humble. Every ounce of support you give us is greatly appreciated. We can't thank you enough for tuning in with us today. Go now and follow the show on Twitter at @humble_podcast and on Instagram at @hardtobehumblepodcast. And if you'd like to have any of your thoughts, ideas, opinions, or concerns heard on the show, you can leave a voicemail or text our dedicated phone number at 615-392-0107. Hog calls are especially encouraged. And finally, never forget, as the late, great Mac Davis taught us so long ago, it can be really hard to be humble, especially if you're an Arkansas Razorback fan. Go Hogs!